Hi, everybody. I'm Mark Mulholland. Welcome to The Upbeat, a podcast about hope and perseverance from Kelly's Angels. Today, I'm talking to Olivia Allen, an impressive and inspiring young woman from upstate New York, Saratoga Springs, and her mom, Melissa. Olivia is here to share how a cancer diagnosis during her final weeks of high school put her on an unexpected path and some of the things she's learned along the way. Olivia, Melissa, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you
for having us.
Melissa, let me ask you first. Tell me about your family.
So we live here in Saratoga, and I have two daughters and a husband, Olivia, who graduated in 2023, and Sophia Allen, who is a sophomore at Saratoga, and my husband, Chuck.
And you've been in upstate New York, born and raised in upstate New York,
right? Born and raised.
Husband as well.
Yes.
And so you have a family of four, and everything was going along perfectly. Mm-hmm. Two good students, two good children, and then out of nowhere comes this diagnosis.
Yes.
Tell me about that, and then I'll ask Olivia about it.
So in January, Olivia ended up getting sick, and we brought her to the doctors, and they had said first bronchitis, and then we moved to mono. She had seen a couple different providers in the area, and they continued to say, because she wasn't improving, that it was a continuation of mono and just run down. And I really just truly thought that she was 17 and
always tired,
just,
right?
Teenagers just being
are supposed
a teenager.
To be tired.
And it was through March where she just didn't improve. And then I brought her back again. And she, again, showed that she was still positive for mono. Very, very odd, but it can happen. And she stayed home for another week, and we progressed with that still, but still not 100%. And then in April, she was actually getting ready to go on her Greece trip with her peers for the school trip, and she just really struggled to get out of bed, and it was just getting to the point where it was questionable that it was really mono. But in fact, it was confirmed mono, but obviously there was something else going on. So she did go to Greece, but when she came back, she was unable to get out of bed. She began dry heaving and really just pale. And so I called the doctor, and I just said, there's something more than mono.
This was April after the school
yes.
break, presumably?
Yes.
Okay.
And so we brought her to the hospital. They ran some tests. They at first said it's just a virus, and we were sent home, and it continued to be that way. And it got to a point where in late May that I felt uncomfortable leaving her at 17 because she could not get up.
Sure.
And she was a great high school student, always wanted to be at school, loved school. And it was getting to the point where I couldn't get her to school.
Sure.
And so when I called the doctor again, they had said, listen, go to Albany Med and don't leave until you have an answer. And we did. We went and we got an answer with a lot of advocacy there. And because we had been, two or three times?
Over the course of a few months,
right?
We're now talking
right.
two or three months at
right.
least.
And it's not uncommon. Because she had a virus, and you know there are things that I guess can be overlooked when you do have a virus,
sure.
And mono being one of them. So we finally, when we got the diagnosis, that was on June 6th, and then on June 7th, she had her port and started treatment.
What was the diagnosis?
B-cell high-risk ALL, which is acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and because she is now 18, but once you're 10 and over, you're considered a high risk. And it kind of put her in a different category altogether. So her treatment is a little bit more aggressive, being older. And I would say there's a higher chance of relapse.
Inpatient treatment, Olivia? Do you have some inpatient treatment?
Yeah, both. So I did 2 months inpatient every other week, and that's about all for my inpatient treatment. When I had my stroke, I was there for 2.5 weeks, but I did chemo there.
You mentioned very casually when I had my stroke. Tell me about that. That okay, must have been so, frightening for all of you.
Yeah, so let me think. So I had really bad chest pains, and I was like, I think I have a blood clot. And so we went to the doctors, and they were just like, no, and sent me home and gave me medicine. And then a couple days later, my hand was completely turned in and my foot. So I had a stroke. My whole right side was paralyzed.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't walk. I couldn't move my arm at all. So I was in the PICU for 2.5 weeks, learning how to walk and do...
It must have been frightening.
Yeah, it was really frightening because, like, I also had seizures from the stroke, and I couldn't express, like, how
what was going
feeling.
On, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And I waited a while for my the stroke protocol and to get help, which was very frustrating because, like, I knew something was wrong, right. And there was nothing that was, like, going on to help it.
That's what we talked. We talked to a lot of families through the years. Kelly's Angels talks to a lot of families through the years, and that's a common denominator, the importance of advocating for mm-hmm. oneself and one's family, because we're all busy. Physicians are busy. Mm-hmm. Doctors' offices are busy. But no one knows you better mm-hmm. than you, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that something that is important? Would you guys agree with that?
I would say that is the most important thing
yeah.
because I would like Liv to share what she has said the first
so,
visit.
So the first visit I went, I said, I think I have leukemia. And they were like, no, you don't have it. Your white blood cells would be up or blood counts would be up. And I was like, okay. But they sent me home. And yeah.
What led you to believe that? You did some research,
apparently. So I'm a big researcher. Everyone tells me, don't look up stuff, but I have to because I'm always right, unfortunately.
And it gives you some peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
too, doesn't it?
So I was like, why am I still tired after 4 months or something? And I said leukemia. So I was like, do you think I have it? No. And they said to follow up in 2 months with a rheumatologist. So then I also knew that I had a blood clot. So that was also something overlooked.
You could, because you'd done some research
mm-hmm.
and you saw,
like,
the symptoms.
Yeah.
And...
Mm-hmm.
So, we had gone into the doctor's the Wednesday before, and she came right out and asked. And they said, no, it's neuropathy.
Stomach ulcers.
This is a general practitioner?
This is the ER.
Oh, this is at the ER where they're
yeah.
telling you. Okay. So,
yeah.
So what would your advice, both of you, what would your advice be along those lines? If you know that you've got something going on and they're dismissing it, what do you do?
I advocate over and over and don't leave until you have an answer. And that is, I think, the most powerful message that I have for families. And like you said, oftentimes you do hear, like, you're going to be fine. On the outside, she still looked fairly healthy. And she presented well. She's strong.
Yeah.
And
I can tell that sitting here.
That to me, I think, was overlooked because she presented well. Like, we weren't the typical
right.
family walking in. And,
she didn't look terribly
right,
sick.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And I do, you know, obviously everyone is understaffed and super busy, but you know your body best. And that is key. And that's what I say to her now. And sometimes even as a parent, I'm like, oh, get up, you go, you know, I would push her to go to school, like, you're fine.
Did gymnastics
right.
every day.
I mean, yeah. she went to States for gymnastics. I mean, she was, you know, we encourage, you know, being fully present. And, so I understand where they were coming from, but now I would say I will never leave without some form of it.
Yeah, I feel like you should get every test, mm-hmm. even if the doctor thinks that, no, it's not that, you should run every test just to make sure, because there's always that, I was the 3% chance of having a stroke and a blood clot, so I would definitely give other, like, I would tell other families, you need to advocate for yourself, and definitely do not leave without an answer, and, like, I've said this a lot, even if you have a medical degree, you don't know how someone else feels. And that is very important because you know how you feel, so.
Which is interesting. Your philosophy on that is interesting because it's caused you to perhaps reevaluate your future and, and your goals. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but hold that thought. So I want to go back to those months in spring, because that's supposed to be the best time of your high school life, your high school career, the final months of your senior year after all the hard work. How difficult was that? Tell me about what's going on at that time when your classmates are gearing up for the best time of their life.
Yeah, well, so I guess I had just come off from my gymnastics season, which was like 6 days a week, 2 hours a day.
Very intensive,
and
right? Yeah.
So I was very tired, and but like I love sports, so I always push through, and I was just like, oh. And then I was supposed to do track, but I just physically could not. And my friends and I would go to parties, and I'd be sitting on the couch, like sleeping. And then when I went to the hospital, I was like, I was shocked, but I was determined to still go to school and stuff. So the day I got out, I went to our award ceremony and
so this is May?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. May or June?
May. End of May, I think.
Well, I went to prom and then I like was so tired at the prom party and I was just like, oh my God, I just want to go home.
You had been diagnosed at that point.
No.
You hadn't been diagnosed at the time of the prom.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
So that was like May 28th, I think. And then I got diagnosed June 6th, so the week in between was when I started to really get sick, but I just was skipping school, so I was like, I was in the hospital laying down, and it felt like a long time, but all my friends came to visit me, which was so nice, and it really helped me because, like, I was the oldest in that hospital, so to be there with, like, I made a friend, her name's Charlie, and she's 10 years old, but it's just different when you don't have people your age, so they would at least once a day, you think people would come and visit me?
That's nice.
So then I got out of the hospital and I was like, I'm going to walk across the stage. You will not push me in a wheelchair. Like, I am going. And the day before, I started like limping and kind of my hand was just like not functioning
as
well.
That's when you had the stroke.
So the day of graduation, I was in the PICU. They did a ceremony for me in there.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. The Mary Beth from the Melody Center did it. She like did the whole music, decorated my room. It was so nice. And my friends came to visit me, but I was so out of it that I kind of like...
The day of actual graduation, same day.
Mm-hmm. So it was crazy, I would say.
Yeah.
But they always came to visit me. And even at my house, when I got out, they would come and visit me. But it was hard because I couldn't walk. So I couldn't even like go do stuff with them. So it was very lonely.
Yeah, I bet. But you made the best of an awful situation. You have a big smile on your face here now, and mom is beaming as you tell the story. But how did you do that? And because some people would get really down.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm not going to cry. I'm going to fight with a smile. And you can't change the fact that you have cancer. And I didn't do anything to get cancer. So I'm like, it just is what it is. And I will get through it. And I just knew that, like, every day, like, you're one day closer to the end. So, to me, I'm just happy because I'm alive and...
Amen.
Yeah, I'm making the best of it because that's what you have to do. I make TikToks with my nurses. We have parties.
Like, I love it.
It's fun being there because none of my friends are here. So when I'm in the hospital, I actually hang out with my nurse friends. They're closer in age than the cancer patients.
Oh, nice. And you must be so proud, Melissa.
She's inspiring.
Yeah.
And one of the things that she had said to my husband and I was, "You don't cry. We're going to get through this." And so we have to cry privately, which I do. And I said, if Liv can be strong and positive, everyone else around her has to be strong and positive. And I would say as a whole, that's been our family anyways, where we like to see the best in situations. Obviously, at times we've questioned.
Sure, it's hard. But
I'm beyond grateful for this moment because the stroke was the most terrifying experience a parent could ever go through because within 24 hours, they sat next to us and they said, "We don't think she's going to make it." Like it was horrific. And be able to watch her relearn. I mean, thankfully
everything.
She was able to speak, but to eat, to all of the stuff
walk,
on her right-hand side, to drive, to all of the freedom that she had as a 17-year-old was taken away. And to watch her with PT and OT and, you know, be at Sunnyview as a 17-year-old was a very, very different experience.
We sit here today, no residual effects of that.
Yeah, I would say I have some, but you wouldn't be able, like, for a normal person, no. But because I was a gymnast who could do double backflips and stuff, I'm, like, there's a difference there. But, like, I could still right now go run, walk, write, where I couldn't write or anything. So even, like, jumping, and I did that at Sunnyview. They had to do, like, a test to see what you could do. And I, like, would fall over every time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So now, even though my doctor does not like this, I will go to the gym because I coach at the Y. And I will do backflips, front flips, whatever I can, because I like to prove people wrong. And when they say you can't do something, I will do it.
You've got a great attitude. And, Melissa, I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. You were
talking about how frightening that was.
It was.
As a parent, but you admire
her strength, yeah. And her, she has just unbelievable optimism and hope, and when you have hope, that can carry you a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. This is a good time to take a break, and we'll thank our underwriters. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Olivia and Melissa Allen, and we'll learn what's behind Olivia's interesting hashtag. Stay with us.
Support for Kelly's Angels comes from
the students and faculty at South Glens Falls High School in upstate New York, who hold a 24-hour marathon dance each year to benefit local charities. Kelly's Angels is proud to be among the beneficiaries of the 2022 South High Marathon Dance. We are grateful for their generosity and kindness.
Six Flags Great Escape Lodge and Indoor Water Park, an Adirondack-themed lodge in Queensbury, New York, with a splash-filled water park that is always a tropical 82 degrees for a beach-like getaway any time of year. Learn more at sixflagsgreatescapelodge.com.
And from Noble Ace Hardware in South Glens Falls, New York, which offers competitive pricing and high-quality products for just about anything you need. For more than 30 years, the team at Noble Ace has delivered on its promise to be the most helpful hardware store in town by providing excellent customer service that exceeds expectations and reflects family values during each and every visit.
Welcome back to the Upbeat Podcast from Kelly's Angels. We're talking with Olivia Allen from Saratoga Springs, who is a cancer warrior and a freshman at Siena College in upstate New York. We're also joined by Olivia's mom, Melissa. Olivia, tell me, you've shared with us your approach to all of this, to the stroke, to the cancer diagnosis, and your upbeat approach. You also used a hashtag on social media. What is it?
Fight with a smile.
Fight with a smile, and you're doing that.
And live like live.
And live like live. Mm-hmm. Why? What do you want to do there?
What's your goal? Because everyone in the Melody Center that I've met is kind of down.
At Albany Medical Center.
Yes,
right?
They keep their head down. You know, they're not. I mean, obviously, it's a terrible situation, but I truly believe that you have to fight with a smile, or else you will not get through it. So every time I'm there, I'm always talking to everyone. I'm like, come on, let's do this, let's do that, even if they're two. Or if they're like 18, I will talk to them. So I try to encourage other people to fight with a smile because it makes like the difference. And when you're so down about it, I mean, you can't do anything. So you can't change it. You're still going to be there. So why not make it better?
And Mom, you're nodding too. What mm-hmm.
I believe
in
it.
Proud.
Yeah, yes.
Sure.
I am beyond proud, but I believe in that too. And I think that has made the difference with her recovery, and being able to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like there is an end game, and attitude is everything. And we've always been that way.
Yeah, I've always
about
been very
everything.
Competitive.
Yes.
So to me, like, I feel like this is kind of like, it's a, you know, a different type of competition.
Challenge, right?
Yeah. So I'm fighting with myself, but I'm going to come out winning. So
what's the prognosis? I'll ask you both.
So we don't talk much about numbers. I mean, with ALL, there's a lot of research that's gone in over the years, and it is one of the cancers that, for most people, you know, 90% cure rate for 10 and under, and then depending on genetic factors
85.
And age and things like that, it does decrease. And so I look at it as we're here right now, and let's focus in on what we're trying to deal with and work on building our future, yeah. but also just being mindful of how important this moment is today.
In that regard, has it made you cherish the day-to-day, the everyday happenings more than instead of always looking ahead to things?
Yeah.
We should point out, you're a school counselor. Your career is based on helping people with their future
right.
very often. So how has it made you focus more on the here and now, both of you?
Absolutely. And I think one of the hardest things was I was always very prepared and probably will still be. And I believe that there is a place for everyone and something for everyone. And not that I changed that belief, but now I'm looking at what can we do to enjoy this moment as
now,
opposed
right.
to let's spend the next 3 days worrying about this college essay, because I would harass
her
and all of my students, actually, to just be, you know, more proactive and, you know, not thinking about like the moment of having dinner with your family or, you know, spending time with your friends or making a plan to travel with family instead. It was just always like business. And I think now we're really careful about the things that we do, and it's more meaningful.
Yeah.
And we prioritize obviously Liv's health, but also like what can we give her should this be our last?
Being yeah. together is important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And both of my parents have given me the opportunities to go see my friends because I've been healthy enough to do that. So I think that's important because it makes you feel normal. And I honestly, I think it makes it better because like you're just out doing stuff and you're not sitting at home and thinking about all the bad stuff that could happen. So it kind of like changes. And I think my perspective has changed. Like I used to care so much about my hair, and when I like now I don't even think about not having hair, and I just like where before I totally would have been like, oh my God, I'm gonna look so
sure.
ugly.
Right. Yeah.
And
that's you're a teen girl too.
Yeah.
I mean, what could be more important
than
to most teen girls than their appearance?
Mm-hmm.
But you don't think about it as much.
No, because you need to think about like what is actually like the bigger picture. So I'm just grateful to be alive. I don't care if I don't have hair. But I also think that I don't plan stuff ahead now because you never know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a plan to go to graduation and I ended up in the PICU. So
and Costa Rica.
Yeah, I was supposed to go on a graduation trip with all my friends to Costa Rica. I've spent every single holiday there, July 4th, Halloween, my birthday.
When's your birthday?
September 21st, yeah, like graduation.
You've made the most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Mary Beth like got me my ice cream cake that I wanted, threw a big party for me, and so like it wasn't that bad.
No. I think as a parent, it's been challenging because I had a list of things that I needed to do for her to get her ready for college, and then when she had the stroke and the cancer diagnosis, I had to go back to the list and then cancel everything from her dorm to, you know, the tuition to you name it. And it was incredibly heartbreaking, you know, knowing that she wasn't going to be able to do what she had planned for 17 years. And that has, for me, it's gut-wrenching, to
yeah.
be honest with
sure.
you, because more so when her friends started leaving, I realized what she was missing out on and how hard it must have been for her. And, you know, we try to talk about it in a light way, but I can't imagine being 17 sitting,
right.
watching all of my friends
yeah.
have the best time and still remain positive. And to me, that's pretty telling of who she is and how she operates as a person.
Yeah. And in fact, you have changed career plans
yeah.
at this point. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we could all change them.
Yeah,
I could change mine tomorrow.
yeah.
But since your diagnosis, you have decided to pursue a career in medicine, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so at first, when I was supposed to go to Florida State University, I was a criminology major and then going to go to law school. And that was my plan forever. Like since I was like five. And then as soon as I got to the hospital and the nurses made me feel at home, they really changed the way I thought of things. And I am now pursuing nursing. But what I thought about was, why would I want to spend like 12 years in school when I'm already missing 2 years of my life, when I could go for 4 years and make a bigger impact, I think, and help out kids that are just like me, that don't feel heard. And I would definitely listen to them and advocate for them. And I have a story just like them, so I'd be able to relate to them.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, all my oncologists are great and amazing, but they don't know what cancer is like from our perspective. So I think it's different when you can be someone to let them know, no, I think this, or this is something I've went through.
Because you've experienced it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No one knows better than someone who's experienced it. But Melissa, you said that was hard because you knew what she wanted to do, and then she had to redirect, right? Take a detour there.
Absolutely. And obviously in my profession, I want to, you know, force certain things, but This comes natural to live. Being with others and working with young and old and sharing her wisdom and her joy and kind heart is something that I think is going to be life-changing for her, but for other people as well.
I love it. Yeah. You mentioned the holidays. You guys have special plans for the holidays, and will this Christmas and this Thanksgiving be a little more meaningful this year?
I think so. A lot of our family is coming to our house, and they've all been so supportive. Like my little baby cousin, I love him. He came to the hospital and saw me, and that just makes my day. So I think it will be really nice to have everyone at our house, and I believe Christmas is at our house. So I'm really excited, and I've always loved Christmas and stuff and the holiday spirit. And we have a nice long break, so I'm going to be relaxing at home with my friends, too. So I'll get to see them. So I think I will definitely cherish the memories more with them because I got to see them every day, but I haven't seen some of my friends since August. So that's been definitely hard, so I'm so excited to see them.
Looking forward to that. Melissa, will this be more special this Christmas?
It will be, and I'm so grateful for my family. Every single one of them have been incredible, and we will be able to spend that time as long as everyone is not
sick.
Everyone's healthy,
sure,
which that makes me nervous, and that is always kind of like the underlying like fear is wherever we go, we have to be mindful, but most importantly is bringing people in and enjoying the time, because not many things that the doctors have said is try to keep things as normal as possible. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do, but at the same time being mindful of the world around us.
I don't think a lot of people do that. Like they don't keep it as normal as possible. And that's where I think that I've overcome a lot of struggles because I've kept it as normal as possible. Like I go to work, I work out, I do school. I try to hang out with my friends
that
are here.
You're working too?
Yeah.
The gymnastics coaching?
Is that what you're, okay. I do that 2 days a week, sometimes three, depending.
And you're a full-time student?
No, part-time.
No, part-time.
Part-time, okay. Because I could only take two classes. I had to beg my oncologist to let me go.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
She's like, you can't do any school. And I'm like, I'm doing school. So at first it was just online, and I gradually worked my way up to letting her let me go in person.
Sure.
And I was like, I'll wear a mask, do all this stuff, please let me go. And so I try to do all of that. And
excellent. Well, finally, what advice do each of you have for people who may have a similar situation where this comes out of the blue and then you find yourself dealing with this awful disease?
Well, I've had a lot of experiences where, like, my field hockey coach died of breast cancer, and she was always at practice no matter what. Regardless of how bad her situation was, she was always there, and she was my inspiration, I think, to always keep fighting and, like, doing what you love, because that's really all that matters. So I would say for anyone that is going through this, that you need to fight with a smile, and there's going to be good days and there's going to be bad days, but usually there's more good days than bad days, and you will get through it, and you have to make the best of what you have.
Excellent. Melissa?
Advocacy.
Yeah.
let your children speak their truth and listen to them as a parent too, because there had been plenty of times where I had said, oh, you know, you're just 17, get up. And I didn't necessarily listen. Yeah. And so I could see, sure. Right? So I think now, my poor sophomore.
Sure, you listen to every word she says.
Right? You tell me and I'm going to explore. And I would say that to family. It's like, you don't have to always do a deeper dive, but sometimes ask the question, you know, look a little deeper and push for answers with your pediatrician or with different doctors, because that's why we have insurance. And that's, yeah. You know, we have one go at this and you want to make it right. And even if you have to put someone out or cost, you know, the insurance company a little money, you do it.
Yeah, I feel like we've sometimes found ourselves being a little bit, like, I guess, feisty, you know, but that's because we want what's best for each other and our family, and that has helped us in the long run, and you can't think about what other people think. You have to do what's best for you. So by asking questions and doing research, it can help you, and
that's great advice. Yeah. Great advice from both of you. Thank you both for being on The Upbeat and sharing your story, and Olivia, you're an inspiring young woman.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And thanks to everyone for listening. I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And also, if you're inclined, please leave us a good review. If you'd like to be a guest or to share your story or have a topic idea, let us know by sending an email to kellysangelsinc@gmail.com. I'm Mark Mulholland. Until next time, stay on The Upbeat.
If you enjoy The Upbeat, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. If you have topics you'd like us to cover on The Upbeat, please send your ideas to theupbeatpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. On behalf of the volunteer board of Kelly's Angels and the families we help who are facing life-threatening conditions, thank you for listening to The Upbeat.
Nice job, McKenna Rose.
Thanks, Dad. You too.